Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
It's another day. I get a ding dong and I go to the door and it's Lewis Love.
What's up?
Lewis Love is here.
With a pizza.
He shows up with this giant box of Argentinian pizza. What is Argentinian pizza exactly?
To me, it's like a ham sandwich put in a pizza, but it...
Welcome to the show. My name is Freddie Rivera, and this is Radio Flyer. I'm joined with, for the first time on Radio Flyer, let's give it up for Lewis Love.
All right.
Lewis Love.
Hey, man, glad to be here, man. It's like because now we just talk, and we don't have no commercial breaks.
So let me give you a quick rundown. So Lewis Love and I, we've been friends since we were 14 years old. There's so much you and I can cover.
We do have a lot of adventures, man.
Because now that I'm talking about it, I'm thinking of, you know, London, England, Coldplay. I mean, a lot happened on that trip.
Yeah. I just remember one day, you're at the station. You're like, hey, I just talked to Chris. That's the way I do Freddie's voice, by the way. I just talked to Chris Martin, and he said he's going to put us on a list in London. I said, sure. I was like, fine.
So I'm working at the station. We get invited to see Coldplay live
at their opening
in England. It's their opening show of their brand new tour, Head Full of Dreams tour, which is their last one.
Yeah.
So I call Lewis. I'm like, Lewis, are you ready? Let's plan this thing, yada, yada, yada.
Last minute. Like, let's go.
Lewis Love drives over to spend the night at my house, and you bring a pizza that night too.
Yeah,
everything. Pizza or something.
Yeah.
The day comes that me and Lewis Love are getting ready to go to London, England, to see Coldplay live. I think this is what 2000.
Yeah, 14.
Yeah, 2014.
Yeah.
Producer Ruben picks us up.
He's our Uber.
He starts driving us to the airport to LAX. Lewis Love's first time.
Yeah.
And he brings a tiny bottle of Jack Daniels with him, and he's sitting in the back, and he's so excited about this trip. Before we even get to the airport, he starts drinking the bottle of Jack Daniels.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Why were we there that early in the first place? Because I remember our flight wasn't at least till like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
We had to go in. You had to check in our bags.
Yeah, we had to do something.
Get our tickets and get everything situated. And by the time I got out of producer Ruben's car, I had finished my whole bottle.
We get dropped off at Tom Bradley International Terminal, which is terminal number 4. It's the big one.
Yeah.
You walk inside a giant Fred Segal store, Coach, every name brand.
Rodeo Drive in there.
It is it's Rodeo Drive inside the LAX terminal, terminal number 4. I think we have hours to kill. You take a nap in the terminal. We're just sitting there hanging out. I think I'm on my laptop by that time. It's time for us to hop on the plane.
Yeah.
We see the plane. I think we're flying Air New Zealand at the time, which, by the way, if you ever fly overseas to London or New Zealand, you must try to fly Air New Zealand. That airline is beautiful.
They hooked it up.
So we board. We board our Boeing 777. It's the 777. It's the one with like 8 seats, you know, 5 in the middle and 3 on each side. And we're like way in the back. I take the window seat. Lewis takes the middle seat. And there's an older man who is in the outside seat. We're literally going to land the day of the concert. So that's already starting to make everything crazy.
Like my pregame couldn't be any better. Like I said, you know what? This is the way to do it. Not thinking how long the flight's going to be, you know? Like, this is a long flight.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Freddie, I get window seat.
Lewis Love's screen in front of him where he had to watch movies is starting to not work. What happened?
It just blanked out. And the old man next to me was trying to sleep. So I was thinking about watching his.
So
at the same time,
you hit the button.
My keyword was try to sleep. First of all, he wasn't having it with me. I could just tell this guy, go, why do I need to be seen next to this guy? You know what I mean? Yeah.
You call attendant.
I called the attendant, let her know that, hey, you know what? I know everybody's sleeping, but I want to watch a movie. Like, this is time.
Yeah.
It's time. Uh-huh. It wasn't working. Attendant comes and says, we're going to figure this out for you, sir. So they did a good deed. They kicked the old man off.
I'm watching my own movie, right? I see the older man start to get up. They wake him up from his nap.
Yeah.
And they move him to another seat.
Yeah, mind you, this guy was not fond of me
at
all.
Lewis ends up sitting in this guy's seat, and I take my headphones off, and I'm like, what's happening?
It was a blessing in disguise. He didn't want to be next to me, man. I was a little too much for the guy. He was trying to nap. I'm trying to party. I'm like, I'm trying to explain to him, like, I'm going to London, bro. He probably lives there, you know? It's either the 45th time he's been there or he lives there. Right. But I'm convinced that he wasn't excited, uh-huh. and I was. Yeah. So I was like, don't you dare take this one time, this first time I might share with London.
We finally get to our hotel, and the hotel that we got was some tiny little hotel. I don't know.
Yeah, this guy goes and books a boutique. Come on, bro. I even walked in. I go, dude, first of all, getting out of the airport, uh-huh. trashed was a mission. Getting out of the airport was a mission. Then this guy goes, oh, we're not going to take a cab. We're going to take a subway everywhere we go.
Well, that's what they do.
Tube. It was like a rave, like walking through a rave. There was like 50 million people trying to get into a subway. Then we get in a subway. Then we had to go upstairs, downstairs.
Yeah.
Like for a good 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Then we finally get into a cab. Then when I get into the cab, what do? I fall asleep in the cab, snoring.
You're wearing a white suit with a bright pink shirt and a black tie.
That sounds about right.
The taxi picks us up and starts driving us to Wembley Stadium, which is like a 20-minute drive, I think, maybe, or something like that. That's when Lewis Love finally begins to crash.
Yeah.
The inner walls of his mind.
Well, it just hit me.
He goes into his fifth stage of REM sleep inside the cab.
Literally snoring. I just remember going... And I remember snoring so loud that I woke myself up.
And this is
and you're laughing.
Lewis is asleep. It took him about a minute to wake up from the cab, and the cab's just like, I gotta go.
Yeah, like throwing him off. He's like, dude, you're supposed to be excited and getting ready for a concert. Yeah. This guy's asleep. Like, I don't even think he even made sense of the guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He was really asleep in the cab. Yeah. So we get dropped off. There's a Wembley Stadium on the right side, but we see a Starbucks coffee on the left end. Drop us off here. Drop us off here. So we get dropped off. There's a little line in Starbucks, and I'm like, Lewis, just take a couple shots of espresso. You'll be good.
I'll take two.
Yeah. Remember that?
Dude, even ordering Starbucks from where there was complicated. You know, I thought it was complicated here.
Yeah.
Like, whatever I said, like, if I said the right word over here, they corrected me in something. Oh, you mean... They call it something else, you know? Like... the ratatouille. Like, come on. You know what I mean? Large.
We get our coffee, and I'm like, okay, I'm great. You know, I'm up now. I get my venti black coffee, and Lewis takes, like, 15 shots of this espresso.
Yeah.
And, all right, cool. Now we can walk across the street to Wembley Stadium. It's literally right there.
Yeah, I think.
So we walk over. We're excited.
Yeah.
But because we're early, we got there early because we're going to two parties. We're going to the pre-show party, which Chris Martin of Coldplay, his dad, is actually hosting this Coldplay pre-party for record label and family members only.
Yeah.
We got invited to Coldplay's private family pre-party before the concert.
Which was AKA only like 10, 15 of us, huh?
Very small group of people.
Yeah.
And we get in there. It's, of course, you know, free drinks, free food. And it's just hors d'oeuvres and finger food, course.
They have free beer and wine. That's what it was.
Oh, free beer.
And I remember that specifically because my mentality is like, okay, well, I'm very tired. I'm going to go in and I'm going to go get some good alcohol. That whole place had no alcohol whatsoever.
Just beer and wine.
Beer and wine. I was trying to get my second wind.
Yeah.
Could never find it.
Yeah. It was too hard.
I think everything from how we started the morning dragged. Getting into the plane dragged. Customs dragged. Getting to the subway dragged. Taxi dragged. Getting to this boutique dragged. Trying to get ready in a boutique dragged. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
there's a line at Starbucks.
Ordering a Starbucks dragged.
Yeah.
Them correcting my drink dragged.
And keep in mind, Wembley Stadium is gigantic.
Yeah.
Think of the Rose Bowl, but bigger.
Yeah, to me, Wembley Stadium was always going to be SummerSlam 92, you know? I pictured, like, when WWF took it over there, I'm like, oh, I'm in here. This is where the British Bulldog and Bret the Hitman Hart wrestled their big match, and the Bulldog got the Intercontinental Championship. So that's how I looked at it. But then seeing it, and then...
I mean, Michael Jackson.
Yeah, Michael Jackson.
Queen.
Yeah.
You know?
So much. It was just so much history going on there. That's the kind of game my second wind.
Yeah.
But then I went down again.
Yeah. So let me tell you. So we finally meet up with the record rep, right?
Yeah.
And she's really nice, and we're so thankful that we just get to get this special treatment. Yeah. to even be in the vicinity of Wembley Stadium for Coldplay.
I don't know.
They give us these wristbands, these VIP wristbands, so we get to go to the floor of the stadium.
We're like in front of the stage.
And she says, all right, there's a special entrance for you guys. You guys got to come over here and da-da-da-da. Just make sure you get there at this time and yada-yada. And we're like, awesome, cool. So now we're done with the pre-party.
That was exciting, just to go in the stage. And lo and behold, there's Alessia Cara.
Alessia Cara is opening up for Coldplay.
And I know that was like one of her first gigs, so she was like pretty excited herself because she's like, you know what, it's an honor to be here at her. Because, how old was she at the time?
Yeah, like 17 maybe?
Like 17, yeah. So that was like huge for her. And I remember telling you that, I go, for this girl right here to be at Wembley at 17 years old for Coldplay, huge. And the other side of the world, you know? I'm sorry.
She did. There was this
that
one,
was
right?
One of them, yeah.
Yeah. There was that one.
That one and Beautiful.
That, She just wants
to be beautiful. She goes. She has that voice, man.
She does, huh?
She has that voice. No limits.
She craves. Well, that's Alessia Cara. And Chris Martin was the one who actually picked her out to open up for them.
Yeah.
On their entire tour.
Yeah.
The entire tour. Oh, she don't see the light that's shining. So we're on the floor. We see Alessia Cara performing. She's getting everybody excited because her voice sounds amazing live.
Yeah, she was cool. And she was just very humble, too.
She is the sweetest person. You think you feel special when you're meeting Alessia Cara, but she makes you feel like she's the one who feels special meeting you. That's how great Alessia Cara is. She's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she's opening up for Coldplay. She does her thing for about 30 minutes. She ends, and there's probably about a 30 to 40 minute window in between her and when Coldplay begin.
And Lewis crashing again.
And this is where Lewis begins to crash.
Crash.
Because now Lewis has nothing to hold on to. We try to go find some drinks, but when you're at a stadium, it's usually just beer, wine.
At that point, our VIP party was over, so we had no more open bar. Music was over, and then they don't sell liquor in there. So I was like, oh my God, dude, what are we doing, dude? Mm-hmm. Losing my mind.
You were too tired for anything.
And they serve you in the small little cups, like everybody's on a diet. You know, I was the fattest one in London, by the way.
What are you saying?
I was the fattest guy.
Lewis kept saying that throughout the entire
trip. Like, how am I the fattest guy in here, too? Like, everybody's skinny, everybody's on a diet, everybody doesn't eat. You know, it's like, oh, they eat, but they eat like a finger, you know?
It's because everybody walks, though. We drive here in Southern California.
I know.
It's a completely different lifestyle. I think all of us would be a lot thinner if we walked everywhere like they did, you know? Mm-hmm. They don't even have cars.
Oh, dude, trust me, man. Just getting from the airport, getting out just to that boutique hotel that we started with, disaster. And that was like a workout to me. I felt like I went through a triathlon.
Well, it was for me, too, because we had to carry our luggage.
Yeah, but for me, I'm like, dude, I didn't train for this. You should have told me. I would have did my Taibo.
Alessia Cara just finished her opening set, and there's intermission. Lewis Love is standing up, and keep in mind, now there's a giant crowd, right?
Yeah.
Now there's a giant crowd on the floor of Wembley Stadium. Yeah. So there's really no place for us to go. I think you're still in your white suit with a pink shirt and a black tie.
Yeah.
And Lewis Love starts to fall asleep standing up. Standing up, dude.
Straight up.
You are literally straight up.
Literally,
you are literally straight up.
I couldn't.
And your head is up, but your eyes just close. Start to shut.
Yeah, I was just like, dude, I couldn't fight it.
And what happens is when Lewis is standing straight up, he starts to wobble.
Yeah.
His like, body. I'm like, is this guy gonna fall forward or back?
You don't know.
I wake him up.
And whoever's watching me is going, oh boy.
I wake him up and I'm like, Lewis, come on.
And I kept telling you, I go, I think we're gonna fall.
Yeah.
I'm going in. Like, I can't fight it no more. Like, every ounce of energy was gone.
Yeah.
Like, there is no helping me. I go, this wine's putting me to sleep, this beer. I tried everything.
Yeah.
Nothing's working. The coffee's already worn out.
It was the longest 30-minute intermission, I think, ever, because I'm like, can Coldplay just come out and start? Once they actually walked out and the concert began, the music was so loud. When they performed Viva La Vida in that crowd while we were Instagram living, let me see if I get it. Imagine you're in the center of the floor of this giant stadium of over 100,000 people.
Yeah, the energy was lit.
And then the best was yet to come because we were also invited to the official Coldplay after party.
And that's when I was like, yeah, that was a, like a speakeasy location.
Oh, but here's my thing, though. Why were we like one of the last ones out of the stadium? I remember that. We were walking out of the stadium and it was deserted at that point.
We got lost. That's what happened. Lost. I'm sleepy, tired. It felt like your apartment. like this is the Twilight Zone. Every corner looked the same.
Yeah.
Went with it.
So if I get in a taxi, we go down to this weird location where the Coldplay after party's at, and it's a private location. So we finally get to the party, and this is the nice party. This is the nice party.
Yeah.
This is the bougie party. This is the party.
That's the one, yeah.
You know, beautiful people walking around with hors d'oeuvres and complimentary champagne. And
there's a chef.
There's a chef.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of white, a lot of lights, a lot of dim lighting, a lot of... more shrimp on the barbie. We'll like another glass of Campari, sir.
What kind of music? What kind of music were they playing? They were playing 70s funk, weren't they? Like some Rick James.
They were playing some throwbacks at first.
Yeah, they were playing some Rick James.
And as the night was evolving, they turned up a little bit, put some house, you know, some house vibes.
Kind of reminded me of like a brick and mortar that you'd find in the middle of downtown that's really decked out, really modern and posh, I guess.
Yeah, it's like a poshy speakeasy.
Yeah, like you said, a lot of white walls and very minimalistic art design.
Yeah, almost like a warehouse feel, but you're in an art gallery. Yeah. But
I think at that point.
That night?
We've been here for about a couple hours. Let's just go back to the hotel.
Yeah, so that one we stay at the real hotel now. That hotel was dope.
So now we're in the newer hotel. And at this point, now we're just being tourists for the rest of London, right? We go to, I think one of the first clubs that we went to was some tiki bar.
Yeah, I think at that point we went to go network. We met a lot of cool people.
Yeah, we did.
We went to that tiki bar. Again, I was the fattest guy in there. I'm used to being the only guy in a suit usually, but everybody there was in suits. Like everybody was GQ over there. So they had the fashion, they're on point.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, cool. I'm the fattest one.
Did we go anywhere else? I can't remember.
I think, if I'm correct, we went to, what's the house club called?
Ministry of Sound.
Ministry of Sound.
So we decided, okay, cool. This place is cool. But Lewis Love and I are DJs, right? We've been DJs for a long time. And we have these CDs that some of the world's biggest DJs mixed at. And it's this club in London called Ministry of Sound.
Yeah.
And we grew up with always hearing about it. But now that we're in London, we're like... does it even still exist? So we ask people, hey, does Ministry of Sound still exist? And they're like, yeah, it's just right down the street. I'm like, what?
Yeah, they just talk about it like it's 7-Eleven.
Ministry of Sound is here?
Yeah.
It was like an old warehouse. They had a big main room, a second floor, and another room, right? And then they had the outside patio. They had a big outside patio.
Yeah.
And it's nothing but straight house music.
Yeah. It was deep.
They have this kind of house. All night long. And keep in mind, I love this kind of house music, right?
Yeah.
So for me and Lewis, being DJs, we're like, this is cool, right? So that was Ministry of Sound. It wasn't...
it's just weird.
So we're like, this is cool, but let's just call a taxi. We'll go back to, you know, central London. Finally, we went to Fabric. Everybody goes to Fabric.
Yeah.
Think of Costco, and they divide Costco into like 7 different clubs.
That's what it was, yeah. That's the one that was like the Megatron.
I've never been to a bigger club in my life.
Yeah, and then to get in, remember, it was like a bunch of mazes, like getting to a ride at Disneyland or something, you know?
I remember that.
Or Magic Mountain. You didn't see, like, the rails? You have to walk left, left, right. Almost like, man, when they have shows here, you have to line up, like, really line up. Good time, great adventure.
That club was insane.
Insane.
I lost track of time because the time we left that club, it was 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it was like the sun's coming out. I'm like, dude, they're still going?
Walking out of a nightclub that dark into a sunlight at 7 o'clock in the morning, not a good feeling.
Yeah, like, I'm melting. Like, dude. It was a trip, man.
Not a good feeling. I was like, oh.
No. I was like, get me out of here.
It's like that feeling of you just wish you had a button you could pull out of your pocket and you're like, take me to my bed right now.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah. So that was cool. It was cool to see a club of that size, of that caliber.
Yeah. That was something different. Interesting. Would I go back again? No. I don't think I ever got my rest.
No, we didn't.
No.
It was nonstop.
No, it got to the point where when we got back to the airport to come back to LA, I upgraded to one of those bed couches.
They offered us couch seating, right, on Air New Zealand.
Yeah.
So we're back at Heathrow after a week in London, and they say, hey, the flight's not full. Do you want to pay an extra $200 and get this whole couch seat to yourselves?
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah.
Yeah.
And we each get our own couch, and now we're flying out of London. We're like mid-flight, flying back to L.A., and I'm watching some movie on my screen with my headphones on, and all of a sudden, you know, this male flight attendant taps us on the shoulder, and he goes, sir, did you order 7 cookies? Lewis is like, yeah, me.
Like me, fool. Yeah, what am I going to do with one?
I wanted 7
cookies and a soda.
And it's like one cookie per box, so there's like 7 boxes.
Yeah, yeah, 7 boxes, yeah. Don't pull up unless you got 7 of them. Like, really? Jeez, dude. You thought that was the funniest thing? Like, only you would order 7. Like, yeah. Give me some milk, too. Shoot, with ice.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, then I knocked out.
So that was, I guess that was it. That's a wrap. That's our London trip.
That was
trip.
London, man, but, you know, we'll get into some other store. I only want to grab some pieces out of London, you know, but that was, the London trip was pretty dope.
Wow, what a trip. I got to go through my old photos, like Google Photos, and find them, and then we could come up with more stories. But, man, Lewis, that was an epic, epic, epic trip in London.
Yeah, man, we'll do it. We got to do a different trip.
A shout out to the team over at in London for Coldplay.
Yeah.
Shout out to Chris Martin. Shout out to Chris Martin's dad and everybody who was very hospitable and very nice to us when we were at the pre-party and after-party.
The people there in general, I think that's just how they are. You know, it's not like over here where people are just with their chin up, eyes closed, they look the other way, they don't want to say hi. You know, people are just mean over here. But over there, it was the opposite. Yeah. Like, we got treated like kings.
It's like Texas, huh?
Yeah. Texas, great hospitality over there, man. Jeez.
All right.
It's almost sad to live here. I almost came back into depression when I got here.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Like, really? Back to this?
Man, Lewis Love, I just thank you for being a part of the show. We have a lot to talk about, a lot to cover.
We have more on the next one, brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know, Lewis Love was on 99.1 KGGI with me for years doing Freddy's Free Lunch. And I want to thank you for that, because no matter what happened to you, you were always there every single day, able to deliver food to an office and make them happy.
I'll tell you all the stories on that next episode.
Yeah,
what went down on that?
It involves a car accident and a cow suit.
Dude, I got bit by dogs. Dude, name it. It's happened.
All right, so we'll continue that on next week's show. With Lewis Love.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about it.
All right, thanks for being here, man. I appreciate it.
All right.
This is Radio Flyer. On behalf of Lewis Love, I'm Freddie Rivera, and we'll catch you next week.
Yeah.